All right, everyone, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. And I am speaking with Dr. Stephen Post, who is letting us know that there's a whole lot of reality to benefits that go along with doing good, being good, giving. Dr. Post, before we get into some of the specific benefits of some of the specific ways of doing good, could you tell us more about your background, some of the things that shaped you as a child, and what led you to eventually, you know, which degree you've gotten and how you were led in that direction and to eventually get to the point where I know you shared Dr. Walker really helped to point you in the direction of what you're doing now, sharing with us the goodness of being good. But if you could just take us along a timeline and share with us how life unfolded for you.
Well, okay. So when I was 17, I hitchhiked across the United States on Route 80 and went to Reed College in Portland, Oregon, and kept very spiritual in that time of my life. You know, didn't drink or anything like that. I just basically loved the Pacific Northwest, and I ran into a lot of really interesting people there at Reed. Robert Bly was a kind of Jungian poet, very into psychology, and Steve Jobs slept on my floor in Ackerman Dormitory, I'm happy to say. Yeah, and so those were interesting times, and I came back to New York and became a, for a couple of years, I was a licensed dialysis technician because that was when dialysis machines were really these big open vats full of water, and it wasn't very sophisticated. And I liked just, putting people on dialysis machines, and I had a reputation for connecting with them. And so when people were having a really hard time or they were thinking about voting with their feet, you know, typically I was the one who everybody asked to spend time with them. And I realized that if you're able to connect and be present and empathic with folks and listen to them meaningfully, and if they feel that you're really with them, then you can save their lives. And in that sense, love heals. So I knew that love heals, and was working, 13-hour shifts wow. at night. But I picked that up, and after college, and then I went to Cornell Med and did research for a couple of years in pediatric hermaphrodism, or intersex kids, and learned a lot about what they go through. And I went down to Penn and ran an immunology lab for about 2 years for a professor down there. But then I decided I wasn't going to do science, because what I really wanted to do was study psychology and world religions. So I went off to the University of Chicago in Chicago, Illinois, and I'm a graduate of the University of Chicago Divinity School in World Religions and in Psychology and Religion. So I worked a lot with Chick Csikszentmihalyi, the guy who wrote the book on flow, on sort of getting into these creative states and so forth. And I wrote a dissertation on agape, which is a Greek way of talking about unselfish love, and human flourishing in those of us who give that kind of love. And then I went off to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and did medical humanities for a couple of years there, and then I went to Fordham and taught philosophy and empathy and love type themes for them for 3 years, and then I went out to Case Western in Cleveland for 20 years to the medical school and co-founded a big department of medical humanities and bioethics. And then in 2008, they recruited me here to Stony Brook University on Long Island, where I'm a professor in the medical school and run a center for compassionate care, which is really exciting. We train all these people here in communication techniques and empathy and so forth, and you really can make a difference by training. But of course, I was reluctant to make the move until the then president called me and said, "Elliot Spitzer is going to be very helpful to you." And 2 days after I got here, he was on the front page of the New York Post with his liaisons, you know, paid for with taxpayer money. So Governor Patterson was the new governor, and I realized I do not control my destiny. But I've been here, and I also ran into Sir John Templeton, who was a close friend for many years. And
okay.
I helped him get movement started on religion and health care, on gratitude, on creativity, wisdom, forgiveness. And then he asked me to found an institute for research on unlimited love. And there is an institute, by the way. It's called unlimitedloveinstitute.org. And funded many studies on love and giving and spirituality and helping others, and so that's been great, and it's still ongoing, and it's a joy of my life.
I tell you what, you're doing some outstanding work, and one of the things that's impressing me is that it can be proven scientifically that compassion works.
Yeah, it works for those who receive it and those who give it. Now, I mean, you know, one caveat, you know, Carl, is, as anyone will tell you, that if you're in a profession that requires a tremendous amount of empathic care, that could be you could be a nurse or a clinical social worker or a PA or a doctor or a teacher or a lot of different things, you know, but if, that, you know, a counselor, you could be in clinical pastoral care, you could be a minister. You know, there are things that you do professionally that require so much focus and attentiveness and love, if you're going to be any good at it, your issue is really, how can I balance my life? How can I have a work-life balance? How can I really take good care of myself? Because I'm not going to likely be able to take good compassionate care of others if I'm falling apart, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's really important, and there's a big problem in healthcare today with burnout and people leaving these professions, and we're all worried about it.
Yeah.
But for the ministry. Everyday person, oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big deal. But for the everyday person, you know, doing a little volunteering once a week is a great thing, and it's like it's like a vitamin pill for the soul. So I got here to Stony Brook in 2008, and I got a call from United Healthcare, the managed care system, to help them with a little national survey. And so in early 2010, 5,000 Americans, adult Americans, were surveyed. And the only question was, did you volunteer in 2009? 41% said, yep. And how long do they volunteer? About 100 hours a year on average. So, well, break it down, maybe a couple of hours a week. And then ask them questions like, did this make you feel happier? 96% said yes, which is pretty good, because that may mean that when people are just focused on the self and the problems of the self, it's kind of difficult for them to be free enough to be happy. We asked them, did this help you with stress? 78% said, yeah, made them feel less stressed in life. Did it make you feel more resilient, able to cope with your challenges? You know, 79% said yes. Deeper friendships, yes. Sleep better, yes. It goes on and on and on. Make you feel physically healthier, 68% said yes. And so the interesting thing there is that, you know, even if people around you sometimes take you for granted, and even if people around you aren't always saying thank you and, you know, saying, can I buy you a cup of coffee because you've been so good, it doesn't really matter too much, because the benefits that you get are internal. People tend to be happier. They tend to be less depressed. They tend to be less vulnerable to stress-related physical illnesses, and they tend, on average, to live a little longer. So there's a lot to be said just for the inner benefits, and that's really important. So if you could put all these benefits in a pill and sell them at the drugstore, you'd be a billionaire overnight. But you don't need to, because they're right within us, and we just need to get in touch with them, and then we can live a better life.
When we come back, could you start the conversation by sharing with us the impact of doing good, whether we're giving volunteer services, giving money, whatever it might be, doing good for the purpose of having good come back to us, as opposed to doing good just for the sake of doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about that when we come back?
Cool. Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, stay with us, Dr. Stephen Post, on the power of being good. Remember, he has a book. We're going to talk about that some more when we come back as well.